All right. Hello, I am Max Hartman, the director of our Disability Resource Center. Thank you very much.
Permanent director.
Permanent director. Staying right here forever. So I'm advocating for a full-time psychological services faculty member. And there's lots of reasons why. What I first want to talk about is kind of what we do in psychological services, or specifically what they do in psychological services right now for our students and for our campus community. We currently have two part-time psych services licensed individuals who provide therapy. We have a licensed clinical social worker and a licensed psychologist who are meeting with students, and they're also supervising interns. And these counseling interns are folks who are either in the process of earning their graduate degrees to become therapists themselves, or they've completed their studies and are working towards their hours they need to become licensed. We have 2 to 3 interns per semester who are able to function as therapists and meet with students. They require 1 hour of supervision per week provided by one of the part-time faculty folks. And our practice here is that folks are provided with 6 to 8 sessions of therapy over the course of a semester. Dr. Gina Rhodes, who's one of our part-time faculty people, who's really taken the lead in running our program as a part-timer, is really trying to push folks towards that 6 to 8 through in one semester, although she does want her interns to have the experience of meeting with somebody for a full year. If anybody's ever had therapy or knows of somebody who's been in therapy, 6 to 8 sessions isn't very much at all. And oftentimes, folks need more than that. For that reason, our psych services have been able to develop relationships in our community with free or low-cost providers who are able to provide ongoing therapeutic services for folks who need it. Because we are so much at capacity, I don't know if that's the smoothest way to say that, but because we are at capacity with meeting the number of students we can meet, our goal really is trying to serve students who don't have insurance, who don't have the capability of finding a therapist somewhere else. But developing those relationships in the area with low cost or free service providers and providing the transition to get folks to those folks is really helpful, and especially when they complete the therapy on campus, being that bridge to provide for somebody off campus is really, really key. As of right now, we have had over 70 requests. Actually, the time this was written, which was last week, we had 70 requests for psychological services on this campus. Since this was turned in, that number has gone up by 11. We've now had 81 requests, just to kind of give you the need of how many people are requesting this service on our campus. This is the earliest in a semester that we've ever had to start a waitlist for services. I had Dr. Gina Rhodes give me some numbers. She can't be here because she's a part-timer and she has her own private practice, so she's not here typically on Wednesdays. We're at a Wednesday. So she gave me some numbers. In 2014, at this point in the semester, we had 62 students request for psych services. In 2013, that number was 52. In 2012, that number was 50. So from last year, our request for services at this point in the semester has gone up by 20 students, by nearly 33%. We are now at the capacity for the number of folks that can be seen for psych services on our campus. These numbers right now are our maximum for a year, or for a semester that we can see. So our enrollment on the campus hasn't gone up by 33%. What has really happened is that psych services has become on the conscious of our campus, and I think in everybody's consciousness in this room, folks know about psych services, they know about the great job they're doing, they're referring students to psychological services, the students are sharing their experiences and the help they're getting in psychological services, so that program is growing. I do want to point out that we never turn away a student in crisis. I think that's really, really important. If somebody is in crisis and they need to see somebody right away, our psychological services really wanted me to share that information, that we're able to see people when they need to be seen. But that might not always be the case, and I don't want to get to a point where that is not the case, where we don't have the availability of folks to see somebody who is in crisis. When I was talking about how this has become on the consciousness of the campus, you can really see that in some of the things that have happened in the last couple of years. We have our CARES group that meets every Thursday. That's our behavior intervention team that we respond to faculty and staff reports of some behavior or something that's impacting a student that they're coming across with. And in those groups, we kind of figure out what the students' needs are, what the issue is, and we try to figure out the best way to support that student on our campus. Our psych services staff member, our part-time person who's part of that group, plays an integral part in every single one of those referrals. Many of those referrals are to psychological services to get some therapy on our campus. I highlight Title IX because we've all been to the mandatory Title IX training from Eugene. One of the things that was highlighted in that training and also at the Title IX Summit at Merritt College earlier this semester was how important psychological services plays in Title IX. As everybody should know, we're all mandated reporters. So if a student comes to us with something talking about sexual violence or sexual discrimination or any of those really, really important things, we have to share with that individual that we are mandated reporters and we're required to make that report. And that's very, very important. A psychological services counselor is not a mandated reporter in that same way. And the reason that's important is because we need to have people on this campus that folks can talk about these really, really important things and not have to worry about a report being made. So having increased psychological services has more opportunity for students to make those types of reports. This semester, Dr. Rhodes and I, we did the first safe zone training for the LGBT community in this room, the first safe zone training this campus has had in a long time. And we do not want that to be a one-of thing on this campus. With a full-time psych services person, we can really institutionalize that and have safe zone trainings be something that's happening ongoing and kind of part of our campus culture. Our psychological services part-time staff was able to coordinate with the county to bring them mental health first aid trainings to our campus. Anybody else go to a mental health first aid training? Anybody? A couple folks? So if we had more of those, we can get more folks in this room going to mental health first aid trainings. So things that we can do with a full-timer. Our sister colleges have full-time psychological services folks that coordinate their program. A lot of folks have talked about outreach. We don't have a plan of outreach right now because we don't have a full-timer. A full-time person could be the face of this program and really provide our outreach to division meetings and various student groups on campus. We could develop peer-to-peer counseling groups. We could have more counseling hours, provide more supervision hours for more interns, so we could see more students on our campus. And what else can we do? We want to create a local chapter of Active Minds, which is really bringing students with mental health issues out of the shadows and identifying some of that stigma that folks in this community experience. So 12 additional hours a week for supervision, direct counseling, et cetera. One thing I like to talk about is that this is a position that benefits everybody on this campus. Focusing on student mental health and making that a priority affects all of us, helps all of us, whether we're staff, faculty, administrators. That was a couple weeks ago, that shooting in Oregon, and one of the things that comes up whenever there's a school shooting on campus, they talk about mental health. And I have mixed feelings about that. I'm glad that we talk about mental health. I wish it wasn't when there was just a tragedy. And I do worry about the increased stigmatization that comes with talking about mental health only when there is a shooting. The overwhelming majority of folks that have mental health issues do not commit violent acts. But all those things being said, definitely increasing our mental health support for students on any campus is part of decreasing those events in the future. So thank you. I know I went over. Questions? Yes.
How many CARES reports have
we
had since the
implementation? That's a great question. We have a number every week. We didn't have one this week.
I can find that out.
Yeah, that's a great question. I do not know. Seems like a lot.
What cost savings would we incur by not needing the part-timer?
What cost savings would we incur? Well, this would be a cost because we would move one of the part-time positions to a full-time position. Yeah. Mary ran some numbers for me.
Another way to phrase it then. What?
How much more does it cost?
The cost savings online, they said.
Had I read that more carefully.
It's not in his thing. It's in the supporting documents right next to it.
Yeah. I think the range for moving the part-time position to a full-time position, I think it was between $60,000 and $70,000. Yeah.
What would be the, if the college weren't sure that we'd have the demand and wanted to do a part-time, a second part-timer, what would you lose by doing a second part-timer rather than having a full-timer?
Well, I think you would increase the hours. You'd have more opportunity to provide supervision and to see more students. Well, I think you lack the consistency. It would have been great to have a person advocating for increases in this position, actually working in psychological services right now, a person who does therapy. I think having a singular person on this campus that's kind of leading these efforts and coordinating these efforts and being a face for all the faculty and staff to talk to, if there's something that comes up mental health-wise, I think that's what you get by having a full-timer in that position. Did you have a question?
Mine is kind of similar to Doug's and with Gregory's. Would we gain more by going full-timer versus two part-timers? Because a lot of the times, the people that come here to work, like Gina, they have their own practice.
Yeah.
And so that would be, I think, something to look at.
I'm not combining the two part-timers.
We're going
to keep one of the part-timers. We used to have a full-time person on this campus. That's what Margie Carrington told me years and years ago. And I think we really need somebody to be in that full-time position who this is, and they really are committed to providing mental health services on our college campus, to kind of be the champion for this program, to be the champion for mental health services on our campus.
Do you have services in the evening?
We have some limited services on a Thursday evening, so one evening a week, currently.
So would that increase if you had full-time, because you have a lot of...
The potential, the possibility of that increasing, absolutely. I mean, I don't know what this person's hours would be. I don't know what the hours of additional interns, but you have more bodies providing services, then we can get more creative and make sure that we're providing coverage at different times of the day. Read new students, particularly, yeah.
If we have additional questions, can we email them to
us? Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Gregory, it was $61,000 to $71,000 difference.
Okay.
Thank you.
As you say,